I'm going to do the preaching and Rene is going to do the clicking. So we trust it's going to work. We've been working together for many, many years. So I think it's going to work this afternoon as well. First one is all questions. And then the question what I'm asking is, why am I here? Why am I here? Now, if you take a look at these questions, why am I here on earth? Where did I come from? What am I worth? Do I have an intrinsic value? Do I serve a purpose? And if you ask these type of questions on the outside, a lot of people will have philosophies about it and they will say it's about this and it's about that. And it's actually, it's awesome to have a look at it and to start the sermon with that and have a look what the people on the outside are thinking about that. And it's going about what is the history, where am I coming from, what is happening at the moment, and what is my future, what is my purpose. And when you're asking these questions, it actually will tell you that how you see yourself and how you see the earth around you and how you see, how you actually see as you as part of this world. Now, these answers, what we're going to get on these questions, can actually be divided in two groups. The one group is going to be answers which is going to be the acknowledging the existence of God, and the other one is going to be that they do not acknowledge the existence of God. They deny that there is a God. So we basically have got two types of views on it. So I'm going to start with the first one which says there is not a God. Now, what type of answers am I going to give then on those questions when I say, why am I here on earth? And then there are some people who say, I'm an accident. I shouldn't have been here. And you must probably have heard that answer from somebody who says, but I shouldn't have been here. I'm an accident. So that would be the person's answer on that question. Where did I come from? Very logic question. I'm coming from my parents. They wanted to have children. I'm number 5 of 9. So I don't know how many children my father and mother actually wanted to have, but I was number 5. So yes, I assume that my mom and dad wanted to have children. What am I worth? Then you're going to add your house and then your car and then you deduct what you owe on your credit card and then you've got a value and then you say, okay, this is what I'm worth. This is my value. It's in dollars or in euros or whatever currency you want to work it in. But you give a certain value into it. And then you say, do I have an intrinsic value? And then those people who are fortunately enough who have got a job, they get a salary at the end of the month. And they say, that's my value, because the company thinks I'm worth that amount of money. That's my value. That's how much I'm worthwhile. And then do I serve a purpose? And then there's a very popular way of saying, they say, I've got to find myself. And when I find myself, then I'm satisfied with myself. I'm content with myself. And that's my answer then of, do I serve a purpose? So what we can see in these type of answers, it's actually empty, it's hopeless, and you're basically looking for satisfaction, which you most probably cannot get. But what is going to happen if we take those questions and we're going to answer them out of a view that God exists? And we say, God exists, and now I'm going to answer the same questions. Now I'm going to do it out of my own perspective then. Why am I here on earth? God has got a plan with me. That's why I'm on this earth. It's God. It's not me. I haven't got a plan. God has got a plan with me. Easy, short and sweet. Where do I come from? God knitted me together in my mother's womb. Go and read Psalm 139. It's written over there. It's not very complicated. What am I worth? I'm so much worth that the Lord sent his son to die for my sins. That's how much I'm worth in God's eyes. And that's not dollars, and that's not euros. Do I have an intrinsic value? If I had to look at my list of assets, God the Father is the creator of heaven and earth. He made everything. Everything belongs to him. I'm his son. He told me I'm inheriting it from him. So if you take a look at that, you and I are very rich. You cannot put it in figures. Do I serve a purpose? Yes, I've got a purpose. God has got a plan with me. Now, if we take a look at again at those answers, what we've got, the answers what I've given first and the answers what I've given a second time, then you will see that there is a definite difference between the one and the other one. The first one, it was each and every time, I, me, or myself in the answer. It was all going about myself. It was all going about me. It was all going about I. The me trinity, I, me, and myself. It happened in my life as well. I also thought it was all about me. It was so much that even working in a church, or working in a church, helping, assisting in a church, that it was very important for me to be recognized, that my name is written over there. And that I, me, and myself, even what I was doing stuff for the church, it was also part of my answers on these questions. The second answer is what I gave, that those are the answers then which I said by believing in God, is God is the center of those answers. It's not the I, the me, and myself anymore. It's God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three, they are the center of that answer over there. What does the Bible say on that question? Why am I here? Isaiah writes in 43 verse 7, it says, everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him. This is the title and also of the sermon, For My Glory. And then my glory is written with a capital, the my. Everyone is called by my name. It doesn't exclude anybody. It's everyone. So what God has got, it's not only for the privileged one. It's not that you should be coming from a certain country or you should have a certain color skin or a certain age or anything like that. Everyone. There's no difference in it. Whom I've created for my glory, I've formed him, yes, I've made him. If we can see, then we can see three verbs over there. It says created, God created us. We heard it a few Sundays ago. God created us out of nothing. He made something. So that's God created us. He formed me. From that creation, he formed me. It's like the potter and the clay. He starts making from that clay, starts making a pot. And then the last one is he made me. He made him. God purified, made me perfect. So it's actually, it's a whole process where we can see he created, he formed me, and then he made me so that I can glorify him. That's my purpose. That's why I'm on this earth, to glorify his name. What do I understand with the word glory? It's a word what we are used to use quite a lot in our prayers, and we say glory to the Father and all that. But what is included in that word glory? Now I'm going to ask you to just quickly go to your neighbor and share two things. Would you include, what would you see in the word glory? What do you understand with the word glory? Because we're using it quite a lot. Quickly. Two things. Not two sentences or 20 minutes. Two things, that's all. Okay, I said two things. That's you're going to sit the whole day, yeah? There are more than enough things what we can say about what's included in the word glory. Yeah. Right. If we take a look. if we take a look in the Old Testament, the word which has been used over there, it's kabode, and it means glorious, glory, honor. If we go to the New Testament, the Greek word which has been used over there is doxa, and doxa is not an unknown word for us. We know about it. And it means dignity, glorious, honor, praise, and worship. And we give it to people. We give it to certain people who, let's say, if you are a sports star and if you are becoming a world champion, then there's a lot of honor for that person. And there's a lot of, I should say, time which is spent with that person. But it's all limited. After time, it fades away and it doesn't mean anything. But what are we doing with the glory of God? It carries on and carries on. It stays the same forever and ever. The glory of God is actually his attributes. And I think when I'm going to mention them, you're most probably going to say, yes, those ones you've just now shared with each other. It's his holiness, because God is holy. It's his faithfulness. He's faithful. Whatever he said, we can trust him in that. If we couldn't trust him, then it's actually a waste of time that we are here together. It's mercy. It's grace. His love. I think about that is God is love. John wrote it like that. His majesty. His sovereignty. Power. Just to mention a few. So if we want to describe the glory of God, I don't think we can actually do it in a few words. It's too much. Just a few are just giving us already enough to stand in awe and say the glory of God. It's awesome. It's wonderful. We can see the glory of God also in creation. When we take a look at some people, they see the mountain and they say, that's the glory of God. Other people see the sea and they say, that's the glory of God. When Renee and me went to Kirkenhof and we saw the flowers over there, I saw creation of God in there. It's awesome. And then, but immediately I saw God in there. I could see there was a creation in there. We once had a family member of ours here in the Netherlands. He came to visit us, and we all also had a discussion with him. And then I asked him, I said, but what is beautiful for you to do? What do you enjoy to do? Then he said he enjoys to sail on his own, on a lake, nothing and nobody there. And I said, that's the most ultimate thing. He said, that's really the most ultimate thing for him. That gives him such a lot of satisfaction. Then he says, when you're on the water and you see the lake and you see mountains and all that, and I said, do you see then the creation of God? And he became quiet. And he said, I've never thought like that. He said, I've never thought like that to see creation of God when I'm enjoying it. And I think it is happening more than once that we are in situations that we're not seeing God, the creator, behind it, what we're enjoying it. David is also writing it in Psalm 19, verses 1, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. If we in the evening, okay, we've got too much light over here, but if you come to darker places and you see all the lights and you see all the stars over there, it's awesome how that whole creation is. We're just standing in awe. If we go to the indescribable from Louis Giglio as well, then how the stars and how big it is, we're just standing in awe and we say, God is the creator. He's awesome. He's great. And God will not accept that somebody else is taking the glory for that. That somebody else is taking glory. So if we are, and that's specifically in the Old Testament what we can read it there, if people are taking certain things as their idols, they give glory to the idol, they give glory to another man, or they give glory to a certain tree or anything like that, the Lord doesn't want to have that. He wants to have all the glory for him. It's only him what we should glorify. And God's glory is constant. It never changes and will always be the same. But what does it actually mean if we say we're going to glorify God? Now, to glorify God, okay, glorify is then the verb and glory is then the noun what we're using. So if we say, what is it to glorify God? Is to give all the glory to God, give all the glory to him. We acknowledge his greatness and we give him all the honor for that. We worship him. We do the praise and worship, what we did at the beginning of this sermon as well. We give praise and worship to him because he is awesome and he's great. And he deserves all to be praised, to be honored. We've got to that is part of what God is looking for. God's glory is the essence of the nature, and we give glory to him by recognizing that. And when we start glorifying the Lord, it starts with that we are acknowledging what he is saying and who he actually is. I'm repeating that again. Glorifying God begins with agreeing that whatever he says about himself, especially about himself, that we are agreeing with it. And that we can read in Isaiah 42 verses 5 and 8, where the Lord is saying, "Thus says the Lord, God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and did that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord, that's my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." We glorify God by listening to him and agreeing what he is saying, what God is saying about himself in the Bible. And when we are listening to him, we are agreeing what he's saying over there. But it's not only that we are listening and then agreeing, but we also submit and we also obey to God. I want to repeat that one again. When we glorify God, we are listening to him. We are agreeing what he is saying about himself. We are submitting ourselves to him, and we are obeying what he is telling us to do. And God is the King of glory. We read it in Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10, the ones which I've got over here. "Lift up your heads, O your gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O your gates, lift up your everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's God is the King of glory. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to allow him into our lives, but also into the place where we are staying. Because he's the King of glory. God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, is what is written in Revelations. We are praying, and we've been praying this Psalm 24 for quite a long time, specifically here for Utrecht, where we said, "King of glory, come in. Come into Utrecht, come into our lives, come into this area, that this area can also start to be following you." This is a dark area. People who are staying over here and are staying over here for a long period will know that the percentage of people going to the church and percentage of people who are really Christians who are following the Lord, it's very low. And the Lord has got a plan with it. He sent us over here to start the church over here. And the other churches we were already available, of already working over here, and we are joining them. And because we all have got the same instructions, and that is to bring the gospel, to bring the gospel to other people. And with this Psalm 24 as well, we're acknowledging him again, that he is the King of glory, and we give him all the glory. We're going to do it also as what was mentioned with the announcements as well. It's not only going to be on the Sunday what we're going to pray over here, but it's also going to be on the Monday when we go around, when we claim and we proclaim Utrecht for the Lord. So I'm coming now more or less to my end of this part. But what I'm trying to get over here is that where we are, God has got a plan with us, and we've got to find out the plan. The plan what he has got, we've got to glorify him. And we are going to glorify him if we do what he's telling us to do. God has got a plan for us that we've got to start a church over here. You people also should know what the Lord's plan is with you, because then it gives you satisfaction. Then you know exactly where you are going to. And the main thing how we can find it out is to go in prayer. Because it says over there as well, prayer is cooperating with God to bring about his plan. Not trying to bend him to our will. Prayer is cooperating with God. So we are going into a cooperation. We are going to work together with the Lord to bring about his plan. Not our plan, but his plan. Not trying to bend him to our will. So we're not going to tell God to do what our will is, but we are following his plan. And then I want to quote again out of Isaiah in an interesting wise. It's actually an interesting book, Isaiah, if we take a look at that Isaiah's got 66 chapters and the Bible has got 66 books. Isaiah can be divided in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the same book, in the same amount of books as what we've got in the Bible. You've got 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. It's the same what we can see in Isaiah. Isaiah is actually a small Bible in his own. The first part is going about the Old Testament and the new part is going about the New Testament. And if we're going to have a look at the first chapter of the New Testament, which is chapter 40, it starts where it says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, making straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." And we know it was John the Baptist. And if we open up the New Testament, if we start in Matthew, it starts over there as well, exactly the same. So Isaiah is a miniature Bible. And it's actually awesome to read that. What I want to read out of Isaiah is the 43 verses 5 to 7. And it's coming back again about what the plan, what God has got for us, that we should glorify him, so we're doing what he wants us to do. We doing what his plan is, and what we're going to do next weekend as well, where it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him." When we were busy with planning for going with this bicycle around Utrecht, we said that we've got to pray at certain places. And then we decided we're going to pray on the east, the west, the north, and the south, the most, far outlying points what we've put. And when I read this, I basically started shaking, and then I thought again, this is what the Lord is saying. We've got to go around, and we've got to call in those people. "I will bring your descendants from the east." So we're claiming them. We call them in, that those people from the east are coming. You gather them from the west. Those people who are in the west, we call you in, into God's kingdom. "I will say to the north, give them up. Whoever is keeping them back, we release you now. Come and join us." Not only us, any church in Utrecht over here, but that you're going to join a church, that you're going to join God's kingdom over here. "And to the south, do not keep them back anymore. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth." The daughters, which are daughters of the sons and the daughters, which are sons and daughters of the Lord, we're calling them in, that they should come. Come to the Father. The Father is calling from them. And this is what we're doing next week. And I see this sermon as well as a preparation for us for next week, what we're going to pray. Maybe you're going to join us. Maybe you're not going to join us. Then I'm going to ask you to pray at your house. Please pray along with us, because what we said over there as well, praying is agreeing with God's plan. That you agree with God's plan, because God's plan is that each and every one should hear the gospel, and that each and every one should be joining us, and that we are building God's kingdom over here. Not us on our own. There are more than enough people who are going to join us, but also people who are already busy with it. We are not the unique ones. It's all, we've got the same instruction. Matthew 28. 8, the Great Commission. We've got to go and we've got to tell other people about Jesus, about God, and that we've got to glorify him. I'm going to ask that the symbols from the communion are going to be distributed now. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to ask you to take the symbols, that you're going to think about it, because the song what we're going to play is a song where Chris Tomlin is singing about glorifying him, about glory to God, that you think about it. What are your answers on those first questions what we had? Were your answers more I, me, and myself, or was it about God? And what is happening at the moment? Are we really following God's plan, or is there a lot of me still in the plan? Where am I on the scale between me and God? Am I somewhere in the middle? The only place where we should be totally God, nothing else. All the answers should include God. There shouldn't be a me or myself in it anymore. And then as well next week, what we're going to do it, we're doing it for God's kingdom. It's not for us. It's not for me. I would prefer to stay in South Africa and because we were close to the sea and the mountains and I could see the Lord's creation, everything over there. But the Lord said, I've got to be here and I'm here and I'm doing it. But that gives us also a lot of contentness because we know what we're doing is not for us. It is for the Lord. And I pray that the same is going to happen to you as well. So in the period what we're going to play the song, think about it. Take the bread, the symbol of the bread. Take the symbol of the wine. God loves you so much that he sent his son. And he died for us at the cross. And through him, we've got eternal life. And those are the symbols of it. And when you take it on your time during the song, think about it. Where are you at the moment with glorifying God? Are you still with an eye to me and myself? Or can you really say, I'm glorifying God? And I'm doing what he wants me to do on this earth. And as the symbols are being distributed at the moment, it's also that if you feel and you say, yes, I would like to pray about it with somebody, I'm going to be here during the song. Feel welcome to come forward. Then after the song, when you're finished with your bread and with the symbols, you're welcome to join us for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And I really would like to see you next week. And if we're not going to see you next week, that we know that you're praying along with us. Next week, Sunday, it will be one of the pastors from South Africa who's going to preach. It will be Heinrich. Please bring friends and family. He's an awesome guy. He's not as tall as me. He's just a little bit shorter. But he's an awesome guy. And yeah, that we can hear again what God has got on his heart, that we can hear from God where we've got to do and what he wants us to do on this earth. Thank you.
From him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory. His word endures from beginning.